You know, how do you convey this to people who come from backgrounds like myself and some of y'all, where it's you and God together? You know, y'all, you do your 50 and God does his 50, and everything's going to be all right, right? Your 50 being a little bit more important than God's 50, right? But if you, you know, if you do that, then God's going to be pleased with you. And I always go back to the great Apostle Paul and say, who would know better than Paul? Paul had played it from both sides of the fence, right? So for the last couple of weeks, well, I've been studying through the book of Romans. I said, you know what? Let's just go to Romans and pick out some things. So you got your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 1. Good place to start at the beginning. You know, it's like God told Paul, Paul, I see zeal. I know your intent, but it's all wrong. So let's start at square one, Paul. Let's start at square one. Let's do first things first. Let me give you life first, because you got no life. Well, you got a lot of action, and you can boast in your flesh because you're busy as a termite. But the God that you think you know, you don't know him, because I'm the only way to him. And you're trying to go through Moses, you're trying to go through your flesh, you're trying to, you know, man, you're the Pharisee of Pharisees. But let's start at square one, because I see your heart and I know you're sincere and I know you're looking for truth. You should know it, Paul, because you're a Pharisee. And if you open a book and you read it the way it should be read, you would know. And you know, a lot of people say, well, all they have is the Old Testament. That's where we're going. So, Paul, you were a custodian. You were one of the ones that had God's words. You were the one that... You like Nicodemus. Man, y'all are doctors of the law. Y'all should know all these things. In Romans chapter 1, Paul writes this. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And the word gospel, that means good news. Anybody believe Paul before this time was teaching good news? Man, he was teaching bad news. Man, if you do these things, then, you know, you're going to be all right with God. If you don't do them, I'm going to kill you. It's how simple it is. I always said Paul was the first radical Muslim. You know, I'll fly a plane into your church building if you don't believe the way I believe. Because we're the ones that God chose. We're the ones. Anyway, verse 2. Paul says this, which he had promised by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now, what Holy Scriptures is Paul writing about here? Old Testament. Oh, wait a minute. You mean to tell me I can go in the Old Testament and find out that God's going to grant us all the grace we need for life and godliness? That I don't have to go around killing people and trying to beat truth in them, a truth that is really not the truth at all? And that's what God is telling Paul. So Paul, let us reason together. Let me do first things first. That's why later in 1 Timothy, you don't have to turn there, make a little note, 1 Timothy 2:4, Paul said, these things are acceptable in the sight of God. They would have all men to be saved and then come to the knowledge of the truth. See, salvation is the easy part of it, because God is smart enough to know we're stupid. And see, I'm going to make salvation simple. So you can find salvation on Canal Street. It may not come in the form the way I like it, but you know, you've got guys out there saying repent and all this. You got John 3:16. Well, that's easy. That's easy to to find salvation. That's the way God planned it. God said, but now I want you to come to the knowledge of the truth. And you could find that truth in the Old Testament. Turn to Luke chapter 24. And I said, Nicodemus, Paul, y'all should have known all this. And God said, you're right, they should have known them, but I'm going to use them for examples to you and to all those that come after them. Yes, the Old Testament, all it ever talked about was Christ and what had to be done for salvation, what must be done. There's no other way. You bringing a bull or goat meant nothing to me. It just couldn't help you. It was a system that I gave to a client nation until the Redeemer came. Do what I tell you in the Old Testament. You can get your sins covered. But the one's coming, it's going to take them away. And that's what the whole Old Testament was screaming. In Luke chapter 24, y'all know, Christ had risen from the dead. Now he's making himself known to his disciples. And he's giving them their marching orders. If you look in verse 39, well, verse 38. So I tell you, you got to be careful because Christ knows what you're thinking. God knows what you're thinking. Isn't that amazing? 38, he said unto them, where are you troubled, and why did thoughts arise in your heart, which is your mind? Why are y'all thinking? Why are y'all so terrified? Why are y'all, didn't I tell you that they were going to crucify me and I was going to get up? Didn't the Old Testament tell you that? Evidently, y'all had some doubt, just like we have at times. He said, but it is I who has gotten up. And he said, well, how do we know? Now watch what he says in 39. Behold my hand and my feet, that is I myself, handle me. See, for a spirit has not flesh and bones, not flesh and blood, flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had spoken to them, showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believe not, that sounds like some of us, right? Well, maybe none of y'all, but sounds like me a lot of times. I get in situations, say, God, I know you said this, but, that old Billy Goat thing, but, he said it, just believe it. He said, wondered, he said unto them, have you any meat? Now, let's just sit down and have a little meal and let's discuss some things. And they pull out the fish. It's amazing. Christ called fish meat. We say, well, fish is not meat. It looks like meat to me. But who cares? But he said, you know, verse 44, he said unto them, these words are words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. I didn't know that those books had things concerning Christ. Did y'all know that? Y'all really knew that? Of course. It all talked about Christ, all the way back to Genesis. Y'all, I'm going to bruise your head, you're going to bruise my heel. It was all talking about Christ. But if first things don't come first, you don't get life, you can't understand these things. Because you're still natural. Paul was natural. Paul never would have persecuted the church had he had this knowledge, right? So God said, Paul, first things first. Let me give you life. And that's why religion never works. Because dead people can only do dead works that may look like living works, but they dead works because they got no life. I said, I'm going to give you life. Let me give you life. Then once you get life, you can understand light, because now you got the one source that illuminates my word, and that is the Spirit living on the inside of you. Paul, you don't have that. He said, I want to give it to you. You run around thinking you can earn it, but I want to give it to you. And then once I give it to you, you're going to go to the Old Testament. Paul, you're going to be amazing. Because you're going to run around screaming stupid stuff like, I preach Christ crucified. I glory in the cross. Yeah. Not in Moses. Moses was a good, good dude. But guess what? He looked for the day that his Redeemer would come. Moses is the one that said, I'd rather live with the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, fearing the reproach of Christ, way back in the Old Testament. How could Moses say that? Well, Paul, had you had life, you would have seen that in the Scripture. And you wouldn't have taught as many years what you taught. Being that radical, that soldier of fortune, that lawman that was running around saying, you got to do this and you got to do that. Now Paul is crying what? Rejoice, I said, rejoice. You think Paul could rejoice before he had life? Paul got life and he worked 10 times as hard as he did when he had law. Because it was such good news, that's what the gospel is. It's good news. That's why Christ came on the scene saying, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden. It simply means you're heavy laden because you got sin, and you're trying to control that sin by law, and all you're doing is killing yourself. Because the law says the soul that sinned shall die. But when I come to the knowledge of the truth, I understand what Peter's saying, that he's brought immortality to life through the gospel and has destroyed death. I know I'll never die. I'll never die spiritually. Boy, but until you come to that knowledge like Paul did, and you can get it all right from the Old Testament. You said, well, the Old Testament wasn't plain. Yes, it was. Turn to Daniel chapter 9. It was absolutely plain. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Y'all, Greg, you talk about this all the time. And when you look at this, you say, wow. And make a little note in your Bible. Send yourself to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's going to say the identical same thing Daniel is saying here. If Paul had life, he would have read this and say, wow, I get it. That's what just happened however many days ago when he was crucified. This is what was going on. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, talking about the 70 weeks. 70 weeks will be determined upon the people and upon thy holy city to finish transgression and to make an end to sin and to make reconciliation for the iniquities and to bring in everlasting righteousness and seal up the vision to anoint the most holy. Is that talking about Christ? He's going to be cut off, killed. What is going to usher in? Everlasting righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you have to turn there and make a little note. Paul says that Christ, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing that sin, putting an end to sin, just like Daniel said. In other words, Paul is saying he became sin for me, and he knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. Is that not what Daniel is saying? Daniel says he's going to put an end to sin. Forget about the bulls and the goats and the sacrifices. Forget about the temple. Don't matter where you're at, you can be fishing on a Sunday morning on the golf course. You can praise him. You can worship him. You don't have to be a Jacob well. You don't have to go to Jerusalem. You don't. Just believe that he did it. And the Old Testament says, yes, he was going to come and he's going to do it. New Testament said he came and he did it. Believe it. That's what the prophet Daniel said. What about the prophet Isaiah? Turn to Isaiah chapter 30. I said 30-43. Y'all not listening. Isaiah chapter 43. The prophet Isaiah says this. He's going to totally agree with Daniel. He's going to agree with the Psalms. And he's going to agree with Zechariah. He's going to Jeremiah. He's going to agree with all the Old Testament writers. Isaiah 43, verse 25. Verse 25 says, everybody got it? I, even I, am he who blotted out thy transgression for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. I blot them out for my own sake. You can't have fellowship with me being a sinner. So for my sake, I want to communicate with you, so I'm going to blot out your sins. And I won't remember them no more. It's amazing how people run around saying, Lord, I need you to forgive me this. And he said, what you're talking about, I don't remember. Yes, you got to remember. We're saying, well, Lord, you need to change your mind because I just need to come in. I need you to forgive me. I need you to. He said, well, won't you let my truth hit home? And then you'll understand what it means to have fellowship with me. Because fellowship is two people in the same ship. Now, one on the front of the boat and one on the back of the boat. Yeah, remind me to tell you Bujo's joke next week about that here. But he simply says, look, the work I've finished. Paul, what are you doing? Paul, look, once you get some knowledge, man, you're going to be on fire. I guarantee you, you're going to teach this message with fervor, with conviction. You're going to, you know, because what I'm going to do, I'm going to take the grace message and I'm going to have it to educate you. That's what it means. It's going to be your teacher. Paul, you can't come to me based on what you do. You come to me based on what I've already done. And that is, I finished the work. Isaiah 53. Y'all have to turn there. We know that. I mean, that's what Philip saved the eunuch with. Isaiah 53, right? They had no John 3:16. They had no Romans 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They had none of that. Yes, I'm reading Isaiah, but I need somebody to explain it to me. What does it mean? Then Philip simply gave him the meaning. It's the gospel. It is the gospel. The same one you find in Galatians, the same one you find in Romans. Ain't but one gospel. Those people in the Old Testament, Christ, God put them on Christ American Express. He
He paid the bill later. But him all knowing, he knew that the bill was going to be paid. Paul never knew that until God gave him life. That's why he was so graceful. That's why we should be so graceful. That's why Paul said with prayer and thanksgiving, with prayer and thanksgiving. So what are you thanking him for? You're thanking him for all that he's done. I thank you, Lord, for giving me grace for grace that you'll never allow it to run out. And it was right there before Paul's eyes in the Old Testament. But he never saw it until he got life. You ever try witnessing to a Jehovah's Witness and you're beating your brains out? Say, why in the world? He can't understand. No life. Naturalness and supernaturalness is like oil and water. But they're going to be without excuse because the salvation in and of it, God makes it so simple. It simply says, believe. Believe that I did what I say I did. Believe that I'm going to, and if you believe what I say I've already done, then you're automatically going to believe what I say I'm going to do. So I got no reservation. I got no qualm. I've got no argument about him coming back for me. I know that that's a fact. The only way he's not going to come back for me is I'm going to be absent from the body and I'm going to be present with the Lord. Then I come back with him. So how do I lose? You can't lose. But Paul did not had the revelation, didn't understand it because they had no life. You ever talk to a really, really religious person who's supposed to be a Christian? And every time you give them the simplicity, they tell you, yes, I know, but. Yes, I know, but. Yes, I know, but. Talking to a young lady Thursday night, love her dearly. She started in our Bible class about 2 or 3 years ago. She was Catholic. Thursday night, talking to her, she says, you know, in all the years that I'd gone to church, I could never see this. I could never understand that it was this simple, that Christ had really finished the work. She said, now I rejoice every day. And I said, isn't that a great feeling? You want to talk about feelings? I said, isn't it a great feeling that if you don't wake up tomorrow morning, you okay? As a matter of fact, you better than okay. Because all your trust and all your hope is put in him and what he's done. He would not be God if he rejected you. It's a great feeling. And the same person I'm talking about here, how many times you see him right now, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. And oh, by the way, by his mercy, he keeps us. He don't give temporal life. As Darrell used to say, there's no probation, there's just salvation. Man, think about it. Probation is hell. You can't tell me that you got peace and you got comfort knowing that there's a possibility you can disappoint God and he can reject you. Then you don't know nothing about the much more of justification. In other words, God saved Paul when he was a wretch, a murderer, but now that you're my child, if you mess up, you got it, you're out of here. Well, wait a minute. I may as well just wait until the last minute to get saved, right? Paul said, man, all this was right before my eyes and I never saw it because I just had no life. And when you got no life, there's no light. The only light you got is the light of your religion. The light of what the religion say you must do or what you can't do or what, whatever. And God is still crying, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I have never been so busy until I learned what real rest was. I said, wait a minute, that's oxymoronic. How you going to be busy working and rest at the same time? Because I'm trying to teach people how to rest like I'm resting. Never, never, ever worried where I'm going when I'm done doing what God got me here doing. Know where I'm going. Because all this is on Him. And the Old Testament talks about it. Turn to Zechariah chapter 12. All Old Testament. People say, well, you think we should just throw the Old Testament away? Throw it away? How would you know where, if Christ was coming? Who's this guy that shows up walking the shores of Galilee? Where did he come from? How would you know? Turn to the Old Testament. They told you he was coming. And they told you what he was coming to do. But you don't got life. You can't see it. Don't got life, you can't see it. In Zechariah chapter 12, y'all know this verse. Verse 10, I will plot 12:10. Still here pages, so I wait. In other words, it's talking about Christ being nailed to a cross. I will plot upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourn for his only son. Who's that, you think? You think that that's Christ? In other words, it's making Christ and God synonymous. But here's what's going to happen. Paul, had you turned back there, well, no, you didn't have life, Paul, so it wouldn't have made any sense to you. But now that you got life, Paul probably looked at these verses, and I got no question when Paul went to heaven, when God called Paul to give him special revelation, he used all Old Testament. That's my opinion. Y'all want to be right, believe me. That's all he needed. He said, Paul, let me show you something. And I think it was like fast forward. And Paul said, wow, you just put that there? He said, no, it's been there, Paul. But now you got life. Now you can see it. He said, it was there all the time. And you know, you hear people say, well, you know, man, if I believe that God finished the work, and I don't have to do nothing. You don't have to do nothing for salvation. I would just go and do this and do this. Really. And I said, have fun. Come back and let me know how you made out. Turn to Psalm 103. Because this is an example I use a lot of times. Well, David knew this way back in the Old Testament. Maybe David was misusing the grace of God. Right? You ever read the perils of David after all his transgressions? Lord said, David, ain't nothing going to keep you out of heaven. But I'm going to beat you a little bit like a snake. But you haven't bound. David boasts about my boy can't come back to me, but I'm going to sin. Well, David, how'd you know that? David said, because the grace of God's got me. Just like Paul said, he saved me who was chief sin. Now, Billy tried to take that, but Billy, you're not old enough. I take it from Paul, okay? You're in back of both of us. And that's the problem with most people. They don't qualify for salvation because they're really not that bad. I really don't need a God. I don't need the God of all grace. Maybe the God of little grace. And religious people, when they fall on real hard times, they start to scream grace. Like my friend up the road in Baton Rouge, the one that you know, Mike, you know the guy that you write the checks to up there? What's his name? You fall on hard times, then it's, oh, I think God forgives you. Really? You think? Why? Because you did a big one. Well, there ain't no big one than living with God. Because in the eyes of religion, Adam committed a real small one, right? But he got his behind kicked out of the garden, right? So what God would tolerate, what he won't tolerate? What's big, what's menial, what's moral, we just put God in our own little boxes, right? Well, God, look at me, I'm not so bad. And then there's the other side that says, God, I am unsavable. Yeah. Both of those are from the pit of hell. Hitler wasn't too bad to be saved. But I dare you say that. Well, I'm just saying. What's in the Bible? What's the last part of that, Miss Betty? Not just a bond, but much more bond, right? God cannot let sin out of bond grace. Because if that were the case, we'd all be doomed. And I simply tell people, make sure you believe. Believe what God says. Put your faith in me. And that's it. It's a done deal. And to do that, you have to qualify. All have sinned. So all's qualified. But all don't believe that they're that bad. And as I said, some believe that they're too bad. Psalm 103, verse 11. Here's David now, king sinner, as people would say. David writes this in 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so has he removed our transgression from us. How far is that? Infinite, right? David, you write that, people are going to take liberties. David said, you got free will. It didn't work out too good for me, but try it. That's what I say. You want to go to the airport and play on the runway? Go ahead. Of course, you can be in the airplane and be in trouble because the door can fly off. But all through the Old Testament, Psalm 32, David says the same thing. David talks about the goodness of God and what God meant to him. David said, God will not leave my soul. Where? He will not. Well, David, how do you know that? He said, David, being a prophet, wrote that. David said, God showed me ahead that it ain't going to happen. That he'll never leave nor forsake me. Never. The writer of Hebrews chapter 10 says the same thing. Hebrews chapter 9 says the same thing. He came to put away sin. Paul said, man, if I'd known that, I could have been teaching this. But now Paul's in fast forward. He calls it what? Redeeming the time. because got so much to say that I could have been saying when I was lifeless. But man, I see the mercies and the kindness of God. And all this Paul pulls from Romans, the first two chapters, the first two verses. Paul said that was spoken of by the prophets. I think God has Paul to magnify that. Paul wants you to write it in big letters. Since you missed it, write it so people at Alfred Polk won't miss it. Miss Betty won't miss it. Tell them, you could have found me in the Old Testament. It talked about me. It's talking about me coming. It talked about me being the Redeemer. Talk about me being governor. Talk about me ruling and reigning. It talked about me, period. Talked about my messiahship. Talks about my kingship. It talked about everything that's yet to come, hundreds of years before it happened. And you read Isaiah's account, it's like in the present tense. Isaiah, right, who has believed our report? Well, what you mean, report? It ain't happened yet. You know, coming down the road, he's talking about a Savior. Isaiah, it's like saying, who will believe it or who believed this report? It's amazing. Man, we as Christians, we got everything. We got all the books of the Old and the New Testament. And yet, man, it's hard for some of us to believe. We just can't believe that there's salvation is offered as a free gift. And my question to all those who think otherwise, what's the alternative? What can dead man do? Somebody has to give them life. If dead man could raise dead man, there'd be no graves. Paul said, I had to get light. Paul said, I came to salvation, then I came to the knowledge of the truth because it became magnified once I got light. No life, no light. No light, no life, really. Bible says he came into his own. He was that light, right? He was that light, but your choice. I like it over here in darkness. I don't want to believe that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. I don't, you know, that's for weaklings. That's for y'all. Anybody ever tell you that? Christianity is a crutch. We believe that mess to escape reality. That's true, I do. Because if you watch the evening news and see what reality is, you better have an escape. And it better be foolproof. I'm not talking about temporary. I'm not talking about you guys electing a guy that you think is going to be the right man for this country. That's temporary. That is totally temporary. I'm talking about eternity. I'm talking about the light that says, I got you. And not like, Miss Betty, gotcha, like religion teach. No, I gotcha. I'm the author and I'm the finisher of your faith. So my suggestion to you is believe, because that's what faith is. And you go from believe to believe or faith to faith. That's how you grow. You grow in the word of God. You grow when God say, here's what it is. You say, I believe it. Whether I can pull it off or not, I simply believe it. So God, you teach me and bring me up to your standard, you know, until I can understand what you're saying. I may not understand it, but I know it's true. Man, you said it. It is what it is. All through the Old Testament. Either talked about the Messiah or the King. King is coming. Messiah is King. Redeemer is here. If the Redeemer is here, then what am I still looking for? And that's what's Paul's problem. Paul said, man, I'm still looking. I'm going to work. I'm going to work as hard as I can until he comes. And Christ is saying, Paul, let me give you life so you can realize I've already come. And you say you know God? You can't. Because the only way you can know God is through me. And Paul, you're trying to go another way. You can't go through the window. You can't go through the back door. You got to go through the door. This house has got one door. That's the front door. And that door is Christ. One foundation, death, burial, and resurrection. You ain't building on that. You got no life. Whatever foundation you're building on, if it's not this foundation, number one, you can't get to heaven with it. Number two, when the woes and the worries of this world beat up on it, guess what? It's going to fall. But if you're on the right foundation and you got enough truth, yeah, Satan may hit you with a sneaky punch and knock you down, but you get up and you say, this is not my fight. This battle has already been won. So remember, put on the right uniform. And it's a better uniform than the New England Patriots, who won, what, 7 Super Bowls? Well, you're going to win all Super Bowls if you've got the right uniform on here, and that's the uniform that Christ gives us. We're clothed in his righteousness, and we're all wearing the same number. Number one. And that's what Paul had to learn. And that's what a lot of us got to learn. Man, if Christ tell you to get in the boat, you go into the other side. Forget about the storms in the middle and say, I got that. Now, he didn't tell these guys, get in the boat, there's going to be a storm, because they wouldn't have got in. But he tells me and you there's going to be storms, but I got it. I can tell the wind be still at any time. Trust me. And if I don't tell it to be still, I want you to go through a little something. Because next week I got somebody I need you to speak to about the same circumstance that you're going through right now that will eventually get you through. Who's better to tell them than you? Tell the guys at the jail, you're the best testimony in the world when you get out of here. Talk to your 13-year-old nephew. Talk to your 15-year-old sister. Tell them about your life here and tell them about the life you found while you were here. And I guarantee you come out smelling like a rose. You might stink to yourself, but God says, I got you. You ain't so stinky because you're clothed in my righteousness. Anyway, trust him. And if you're here today and you, man, you're wondering, you know, what is it can I do to please God? Well, let's go first step. Get life. I would have all men to be saved. Get life. You know that pleases him. Get life. And then come to the knowledge of the truth. And the way you do that is you believe that he died, paid your sin, that rose the third day, which means you're justified when you believe. Now you got resurrected life. Now I can understand the scripture. Now I can understand his mind because I've been given his mind on the pages of the Bible. I give unto them eternal life. And we thank him. We simply thank him. Lord, again, we thank you for your word, Lord. You didn't just save us and left us in a vacuum. He said, no, I want to give you something. I want to give you life. I want to come to live on the inside of you. And David puts it like this in one of the Psalms. Where can I go that the Spirit of God is not there? Can I go to hell? No, because once you get his life, he's with you forever. David knew that. And Paul came to know that. And we should know that. He just saved us from sin. He gave us life. He made us brand new by that Spirit. And he lives on the inside of us. And Lord, we simply thank you for that. I mean, just think about it. God lives on the inside of this filth. He said, man, yes, y'all got this ministry in earthly vessels. Understand that. You're going to have struggles. You're going to have problems. But understand that this work that I started in you way back the day that you believe, I'm going to complete it. And Lord, that's our rest. That's our hope. And we thank you, Lord, for him that makes all this possible. Your dear son, who in his mighty name I pray. Amen.